The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Good evening and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Later on, Lydia caught up with some Spanish students who are over here on a school exchange and finds out how they are getting on. Later in the show, Mix Morning's Ellie O'Mara met with Sam Rose, an ambassador for the Winston's Wish charity, which supports grieving children who have lost a parent or loved one. Sam tells Ellie what the charity does to support our young people and how you can help. But first, Andrea meets Richard Sved, who is one of the team behind the St Albans Park Run, and finds out who it's for, how young you can be to take part, and how you can volunteer to help.
Hello everyone and welcome to Hertfordshire's Mix 92.6. This is Andrea Nicolai and you are listening to The Parent Show. It's such a joy and pleasure to be here with you as always. And following up for our interview, we will discuss about a topic that is it's very dear to me, I have to say, and has been playing a very important role in my life in the last few years. And the topic is about St Albans Park Run. To find more details about this, I have here with me Richard Sved. Hello, Richard, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, lovely to speak to you, Andrea.
May I please ask, what is your role within St Albans Park Run?
So I'm one of the two co-events directors of St Albans Park Run. We need volunteers to help make it happen. I'm a volunteer myself, and we organise the Park Run, which is a free, fun, friendly, weekly 5 kilometre community event, which you can jog, walk, or run around.
That's brilliant. So with this, you have actually answered one of my questions. As I want to know, everyone out there, what is actually St Albans Park Run?
Okay, yeah, I can say in a bit more detail. It's a 5 kilometre event, essentially a community fun run which takes place every week. And some of us run, some of us walk, some of us jog. It's completely up to you. And also, there are quite a few people, there are opportunities to volunteer or spectate. It's completely up to everybody.
That's brilliant. It's good that there's a multiple of choices. When and where is held?
So St Albans Park Run, like park runs up and down the country and indeed internationally, take place every Saturday, so weekly, at 9 in the morning. And the event takes place in Verulamium Park, which is the biggest park in St Albans. And within Verulamium Park, we meet near the museum.
Okay, thank you for those details. I have to say that Verulamium Park is absolutely gorgeous. It is such a good place, where to organize this kind of events. And basically, it's a good 5K to run. Very picturesque.
Yep.
When was it first co-founded and what is the ethos of St. Albans Park Run?
So it was founded in January 2012. So that makes it 12 years old, just over 12 years old. I was involved pretty much from the beginning. We've had over 500 events now. And I would say the ethos is, the central word is friendly. It's fun and it's friendly and it's free to anybody. So all the Fs really. We're very welcoming. We have many regulars, some of whom have done nearly 400 events. So that's pretty much 80% of the events we've ever held in 12 years. So if you come regularly, you'll get to know quite a lot of people.
That is amazing. I know that, yes, some of, you've mentioned 400 runs. This is absolutely amazing. Mm. I can't proud myself with that many, but I have attended a few. And I can confirm that it's absolutely fun and friendly indeed. Who are the people that are making this possible?
So we need around 25 volunteers each week to make it happen. So that can be people who set up the course, the marshals that help guide the runners and walkers round, people in the finish funnel who help make sure that it finishes smoothly, and people who scan the barcodes of all of the finishers to make sure that they get a result. We also have pacers sometimes who help people run at whatever speed they would like to run. So it's a lovely range of different volunteer roles. Our timekeeper, one of our timekeepers has volunteered, I think, over 300 times in that role specifically. But there's something for everybody.
Oh, that's amazing, you know. And I do want to say a big massive thank you for all the volunteers, because they are making this possible. Of course, the runners as well. But without the people that are volunteering and are you know, they're part of the community, and it creates such a beautiful energy and environment. And without them, it wouldn't be possible. It's absolutely amazing. What are the rules that need to be respected in order to participate?
Good question. So the main one is be kind and respectful to other park users. We don't own the park. And then be kind and respectful to other runners and walkers of whatever speed they're going. Then there are a couple of other rules. We like to, because we're running anti-clockwise, we tend to overtake on the right. If you're running with a dog, you're very welcome to run with a dog, but we would ask that the dogs are on a short handheld lead. Under 11s are also welcome, but we ask that they are within arm's length of a responsible adult. Those are the main rules, if you like. It's more etiquette, I suppose. But yes, those are the main things to bear in mind.
Yes, and people must be aware of them, because everyone wants to, for this event to run smoothly, and especially because it's happening every Saturday. So there's no like age limit, or there's nothing from this point of view. Everyone that likes to walk and run can attend, basically.
Absolutely. I think there's a age minimum, which is 4. We do have at least one person who's in their 90s who regularly completes St Albans Park Run. So it really is a very, very wide range of ages taking part. It's lovely to see.
How beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing. How beautiful. It's nice to see. Yep. It's nice to see everyone from the young ones to the elderly ones being there out in the nature and participating all together to this amazing run. How can people from our community help with making the park run keep on going? Is there like something in particular that they can help with, or that they, you know, are able to do?
Well, I would say it's 2 things. Firstly, don't feel under pressure to volunteer at first or ever. In fact, just make sure that you come along and enjoy it and run. And I think when you see how much people enjoy volunteering too, you'll want to volunteer anyway. But we certainly need volunteers to make the event happen. And the way to volunteer is to have a look at our website, and you'll see a roster with all the different roles on all the different dates. And a way to contact us. So if you Google St Albans Park Run, you'll find all the details you need on how to volunteer and how to participate.
Okay, so basically in online, that is where if anyone wants to find any kind of information about St Albans Park Run, they can visit there. That's brilliant.
Yes, Park Run, if you're looking it up on a search engine, the word Park Run is a single word. So it's St Albans Park Run.
Okay. So I do hope everyone out there has taken notes about this, because I can vouch for the fun that you will have if you will either go and participate in running or volunteering. From your statistic, what is the personal best achieved, and which is like the highest number of park run attendance?
Oh, good question. So when you're saying do you mean our personal best as in the quickest that anybody has run?
Yes.
Park Run? Okay, so the fastest woman, I believe, ran it in just under 15 minutes a few years ago, and the fastest man ran it in just under 14 minutes a few years
incredible
ago. Yeah, so they're at the quick end, but actually interestingly, the average finishing time has got slower every year that we've been doing it, which I'm very, very proud of, because that means that we're very welcoming and slower people are joining us all the time.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, that is an amazing personal best. And which was the highest attendance? Do you have this number?
Oh, yes, you did ask that question. I think it was around 700 was the highest. And we normally have around 400 or 500 people. And if the average time is about half an hour, that means we're responsible for 250 hours of exercise every weekend, which is just great.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I can only picture and imagine. I've been part a couple of times, and it's incredible to see all these massive people running in the same direction for for different reasons, but the main ones being, you know, health, fun, and being outdoors, which is great. Why would you recommend to people of all ages to attend St. Albans Park Run?
Well, I've been doing it for 12 years now, pretty much since the beginning. And I used to try and go really fast, and it's still important to me to be healthy. But for me, it's more the social aspects these days. It's a lot of fun. A lot of my friends are there. I've made friends when I've been there. So I would say I spend more of my time saying hello to people and enjoying it rather than trying to go fast. But it's the health aspect, but it's also the social aspects that I think is a winning combination.
I can confirm that as well. I have made few good friends and within St. Albans Park Run, and friendships that they intend to last. And it's so beautiful to see them every time I'm attending, or to meet new people. And would you agree that this is kind of, because you did mention to begin with the COVID era and everything else. Do you agree that people started to appreciate more this kind of events since then?
I think so. I find it, frankly, really quite moving that there's this movement which is all about human connection. And I really did miss it when we couldn't do park runs for a year or so. It's such a kind of fundamental human need to be with other people, even if you're not talking to them. It helps us connect, I would say.
Absolutely. I have noticed few young faces there. From your point of view, because probably you intend to recognize some of them,
yes.
Are they happy to attend quite often? I know, because I'm asking this only because children are quite they're reluctant or afraid a bit when it comes to, or a bit more competitive. And, you know, if they attend the first time and it's a bit difficult, they intend to give up. But have you seen children kind of attending several of times?
Oh, absolutely. There are some children that I recognize every single week who would come. And if I would say, the vast majority do enjoy it. And it, you use the word competitive, and it can be competitive with yourself, but there's no reason why it needs to be incredibly competitive each week. So it's more about enjoyment, I would say. And we've certainly got some young people who started when they were 4 and are now maybe late teenagers or mid-teenagers, and are startlingly quick and way ahead of me. But I think they've really benefited from a good decade of regularly coming to this event.
Well done. Well done for them. I do have to admit that my children, my two boys attended only twice, and they were absolutely exhausted after. But somehow they're thinking of us three kind of going back to this routine, which is amazing. Would you recommend, like a final tip, would you recommend any sort of running gear or anything that, you know, makes it easier for the runners, especially if you're like a first-time runner, or I don't know, is there anything that you think could help?
All you need to do is register on the Parkrun website, which gives you a barcode that we can scan, and then you get your time. But in terms of running gear, You don't need much, really. A pair of trainers, some, mate, hopefully you've got some light sportswear like shorts and t-shirts and socks, and that's about all you need. Sometimes we, quite often in this rainy weather, we run on the grass rather than on the tarmac because the lake is often quite flooded. So you might need shoes with a bit better grip, but the grass is holding up nicely, and so normal trainers generally suffice.
Okay, so maybe just paying a bit more attention if it tends to be slightly slippery. But
exactly.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, there you go. There's no excuse there for not to attend a 5K run.
Please do join us.
Yes, it's been such a pleasure. I did mention that this is good, and I think outdoor exercise is beneficial for everyone, of course, that wants to give a try to it. Thank you so much for offering us all the details and for being here with us today. It's been a great interview because I am hoping now that some of our people from our community will attend St. Albans Park Run, not just for the run and the fun, but for volunteering as well. Thank you so much, Richard.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Richard and Andrea. Now Lydia catches up with those Spanish students and with their English counterparts who they're staying with over here.
So this evening we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking to participants and students in a Spanish exchange student that's happening here in St. Albans at the moment. And I'm delighted to be joined by three visitors who are here with me in the studio. Let's start with Jose. Jose, tell me about yourself.
Hi, my name is Jose Manuel. I'm from Puerto Llano in Spain. I'm 14 years old and I've been here for a week.
Fantastic. Alejandro. So,
hi, I am Alejandro. I am 14 years old. My hobbies are playing football and playing video games.
Hi, my name is Diego. I am 15 years old and my hobbies is swimming and play video games.
Brilliant. So tell us, Alejandro, what are you doing in St. Albans?
We are doing an exchange.
And what school are you doing the exchange with?
Yeah, we are, for example, visiting London, and we are having fun here in St. Albans with my exchange partner. We are also learning a new culture.
Great. And how's the new culture going, Alejandro?
I think it's a little bit different to the Spanish culture, but it's nice. It's like Western culture, but it's nice.
Tell us the most different things you've experienced since you got to St. Albans.
Yeah, I think the food is so different, like in Puerto Llano, and the schedule, like they have dinner here like at 6 p.m. and in Spain at 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Yeah. And is it hard to get used to?
I think no, it's nice.
Right, and what about the food, Alejandro? You're giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I think, yeah.
Okay, that sounds like it's a thumbs in the middle. Okay, Jose, let's come over to you. So so tell us about what have you done since you came to St. Albans?
Well, I've visited Cambridge on Sundays. On Sunday day, I've...
Cambridge?
Yeah, Cambridge University, you know, the apple tree of Newton, where he found the gravity. I've been in London 3 days. I've visited Big Ben, London Eye, football stadiums, Oxford Street, a lot of things, and everything is amazing. I've tried new foods, new things, new dances.
Even new dances?
Yeah, the Irish dances too are amazing.
Brilliant, brilliant. Diego, tell us, what's the best thing about your trip to St. Albans?
I think is to know Dylan. Dylan is a good person. I love her.
And so Dylan is your exchange student?
Yes, he's my exchange partner.
So how long have you known each other?
1 month, approximately.
Okay. And are you best friends?
Yes, I think yes.
And do you think doing exchanges is a good idea?
Yes, it's a very good idea because I practice my English and I know new people. And I know a new country is fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. That's so lovely, lovely to hear, Diego. And do you think, like, if parents are listening, let's put the question to Jose. So would you tell parents who are listening that, what would you say about exchanges? Are they a good idea or not?
It's so recommendable for everyone. You will learn new things, new people. You will improve the language you are practicing in the country. I think it opens your mind. Before and after, I've seen that I have changed my mind, my personality too, everything. Everything changes with this exchange opportunity. So it's great. If you have the opportunity, I think you have to choose the right option, that is coming here, coming everywhere, and changing the option of doing the exchange.
Excellent. Oh, that's so lovely to hear, Jose. Alejandro, what's been the best part of St. Albans for you? Have you enjoyed being in St. Albans?
Yeah, I think, like, for Spanish people, St. Albans is a dream, because you have all the houses like in the films, and with Spanish people love it. And that's amazing.
So we won't come back to the subject of food, but what about school? Is the school you're in very different from your school? Diego, maybe you want to say, is the school very different?
It's so different, like Spain. The first thing is, in England, the students wear a suit. In Spain, we wear
casual clothes.
Yes, casual clothes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, would you like to have a uniform in
Spain?
Yes,
I prefer wear an uniform.
Really? Jose, what's your feeling about the uniform?
Well, I think it makes the opportunity you to have the same clothes, everybody. You don't have to think that. But I don't think it's a good thing to apply in Spain. I think everybody feels comfortable wearing their own clothes, the thing that they like. So I don't think that uniform will make you being better and anything at any aspect.
I think that wear a uniform is much better, because in Spain people bought a lot of clothes and spend a lot of money in clothes, and that's, but it's better uniform. You have to spend that money in clothes. You can spend it in food or maybe in other things.
I got it. Yeah, that makes sense. But I can imagine the weather must be very different as well from Spain. What's the weather been like since you came to St. Albans?
I think that in winter, the coldest days in Spain in winter are similar to these days in St. Albans. Now in Spain, like, we are at 25 degrees, more or less, or 20. And now we are, I think, 13, maybe. And also the rain, it's different.
Yeah. Is it too much rain?
Yeah.
And Diego, what about the food? So the food is very different in England. What do you think about it?
No, it's different. It's similar, but I can find difference. The breakfast, I think, is better than Spain.
Ah.
I prefer England breakfast, and the food is, I can find fast food. I don't like that, but it's good for the students, for the people.
And what's your favorite English breakfast?
Toast, and I don't know the name, but it's so good.
I think you're a fan of a bacon sandwich.
Yes.
Fantastic. See, guys, you've really experienced a lot of culture. You've been to London, to Cambridge. You've eaten a lot of food. You've had a lot of rain. You've also had a little bit of sunshine. What's your best bit, Jose? What do you think is your favorite part of the whole trip?
Well, the best thing ever is to have this moment with my partners, with my exchange partner too. Archie is a very lovely person. He's my best friend here in England. He has made this experience so better. And I think of the places I have visited. We went to a skyscraper in London, where you can see everything, every part of the city. And I think it was the best thing I have seen ever. So probably that.
Fantastic. How about you, Alejandro? What's your top takeaway? Is it food? Is it a place? Yeah. Is it a person?
I think yesterday was the best day of the trip because we were at Camden Town, and I think it's an amazing place because you have a lot of shops. I have bought some clothes for mine. And I think also today we have been in the city of London, and I love that. The financial district and the Tower Bridge of London is amazing. Yeah, brilliant. So beautiful.
What about you, Diego? What's the best part of the whole trip for you?
I think the best part of my trip is all. I love everything, and especially my partners. Dylan is lovely, Archie is lovely, and David is lovely. I love that.
So you've really made friends for life.
Yes.
Coming to St. Albans.
Yes.
That's brilliant. So lovely to hear. Guys, thanks so much for talking to us. Would you like to say a thanks to any teachers involved? Do you want to give them a shout out in case they're listening?
Yeah, of course. Thank for our Spanish teachers, to Pablo Osorio, Pilar and Maria Osorio, for yep. them three, for giving us the opportunity to come here. And thank too to our parents for giving us the opportunity to come here and live in this experience. Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us on The Parents Show.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So that was Alejandro, Jose and Diego talking to us from Portillano in Spain. So we decided we'd get the flip point of view and talk to their partners, their exchange students here in England. So I'm delighted to be joined by David, Dylan and Archie, who are partners to Diego, Alejandro and Jose. So David, let's start with you. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, so I'm David. I'm 15 years old now. I play a few sports and this has been my first time away to a different country.
My name is Dylan and I didn't go on the Spanish exchange, but I still took Diego in, and it's been a really great time, and I recommend other people do it as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dylan. Archie, what about you?
I'm Archie. I'm 15. I'm Jose's partner, and he's stayed with me the past week.
So, let me get it straight. So, Dylan, you didn't go over to Spain, but Diego came to stay with you, and you guys have had students for the last week in St. Albans. How's the week been, David?
The week's been pretty fun, to be honest. It's good to see how they've adapted to our sense of life compared to theirs in Spain.
And do you think it's very different?
It is very different, as in when we went to Spain, we were staying up and out a lot later, and they have a lot more stuff in place for staying out later.
What about you, Dylan? How's the week been with Diego? So you didn't have the context, so you hadn't been to Portillano.
No.
But so how did it work out? Were you nervous before?
I was nervous meeting him because I've never spoken to him apart from texting him. But after a couple of days of us doing loads of activities, we got more comfortable with each other, and it was a really good experience.
And you get on well?
Yeah.
It sounds like everybody's really got on well with their exchange partners. Do you think there's friendships for life there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely if I'm in southern Spain in the future, I'm probably going to try and visit them. Yeah, I mean, I'd say we're close friends now.
That's a lovely thing to hear. So how does it compare? How does life in Spain compare to life in St. Albans? Was it weird meeting the same people there and seeing them here?
Yeah, I just feel it's very different compared, to be honest, just in the way that they do stuff and the way that they live, as in St. Albans we're mostly based in houses, and in Spain it's mostly flats and stuff. So it's a very different way of living, to be honest.
What about climate, food? Archie, tell us about your experience.
I mean, like, obviously, because it's so much hotter there, they eat later, the food, so it was different kind of spending the entire day doing activities and then having food at like 11 or 10, but you get used to it, and after a while it's kind of enjoyable staying out there though.
So what about language, guys? How's that gone? How have you managed to communicate? Dylan, I'd love to know, how's communication going between you and Diego?
He's been speaking a lot more English than I have Spanish, but we've been using Google Translate sometimes, but he's really good at English, and I've learned a lot of Spanish being with him, so we can communicate really well now.
How about you, David?
So my Spanish really is not that good, but they're quite fluent compared to us with their language, but so it's quite easy to communicate with them, and usually it's just simple as rephrasing it and they understand, so it's been quite good.
Yeah, I mean, the Spanish people naturally, they've been learning English the same amount of time pretty much as they've been learning Spanish, so they're obviously going to be a lot stronger than us overall. And obviously, like, you make an effort to speak Spanish when you're in Spain, but over here it's a bit of a relief being able to kind of speak English again.
So if there's parents listening and they're thinking about whether doing an exchange is a good idea or not, Dylan, what would you say? What would your advice be?
I think you should do it. You will regret it if you don't do the Spanish exchange.
Brilliant. Arch?
I mean, it's definitely a really good thing to do. You do just get to kind of have not quite a holiday, but it's not far off, for a week in a foreign country with a load of your friends. So, like, I don't really see why you wouldn't. It's not as awkward as people assume it would be.
David, what would you say about
it? I would agree with Archie. It's quite very much of a relaxing week compared to what you might be doing at school, like maybe a good week out, as well as it's really not as awkward as you would expect it to be.
And so if you were to look back on your week in Portiano, what would you say, David, was the best bit for you of being in Spain compared to here?
So I would say it was actually going to visit family, because their, like, closeness with their families, I would say, is different from how it is here in England. So they have, like, different customs and things which they would do with them.
Give us an example.
So when I went to Puerto Llano, we went, like, on a family hunting trip, which they do every single year. So obviously it's a whole family and they'll go out hunting. And then in their grandparents' house, they each have a display of the head or, like, the tusks of an animal they've killed, which I think is quite nice and something that wouldn't really happen here.
Indeed, indeed. Archie, what about you? What was the best bit about being there?
I mean, when you go on the exchange, three of the days you go and visit city, it was Madrid, Toledo and Cordoba. I really liked Toledo because you'd just be walking around the centre, and for some reason they're really big on ancient gun shops. I've no idea why, and I saw, like, a load of 18th century revolvers and things.
So, guys, overall, with the experience, I think quite often it's assumed that boys aren't keen to learn languages, so they mightn't get involved in language exchanges. Do you think this would make boys more likely, a student exchange would be more likely to get boys involved in languages? Do you think that stereotype is even true? Are girls better at languages than boys? David, I'm going to pick on you.
So I would say that this is a great way of encouraging everyone to learn a language at schools, and especially Beaumont, due to the fact that it's something to, like, look up to when it's coming, and something to, like, revise and get better at your language just for.
Great. Archie?
I don't know. I mean, we've only been learning Spanish since year 7, so not many of us are kind of that good at Spanish overall, but I think the exchange has definitely kind of improved it quite a lot, and we've definitely gotten stronger since.
And does it spur you on to learn more Spanish, and does it make you feel better about your language?
Yeah. I think it would be really cool to be able to communicate to people worldwide, and learning a language is how to do that. So I'll definitely be practicing my Spanish more often now.
Brilliant, brilliant. So just before we wrap up, guys, I suppose I just want to say, like, ask you about your partners, your exchange partners. How's it gone? How's it going to go? What do you think? Are you going to stay in touch?
So I do plan to stay in touch with Alejandro. I think at first, obviously, he was a bit nervous, but I guess so was I when I went to Spain. But I feel like we've got past that through the stronger connection we built over time. Yeah.
Great. Dylan?
I will definitely keep in touch with Diego. It's been really fun having him around, and I'm going to Portiano in the summer, and I'll see him again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of pretty immediate. I got on with my partner and all the other Spanish people because I think they just don't do awkwardness in that country. So I mean, I'm definitely going to try and visit again because it's great fun being with them.
So, guys, are there any thank yous you'd like to say, people who facilitated the whole experience?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Miss Bennett for organising a lot of it and kind of managing most of the administration towards going to Bordiano.
Oh, obviously, there was also Miss Rennie. She was a massive part of it while we were there. She was obviously one of the main teachers that controlled what we were doing, and she made it a very fun trip.
Also, a thank you to Mr. Palmer. I didn't go into the Spanish trip, but I know he was there and did a lot as well.
Thanks, guys. Brilliant. Okay, guys, thanks a million. I think that's a big endorsement for student exchanges. I think parents are probably convinced by that. Thanks a million for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Lydia, and to all the students. Now, Ellie is joined by Sam Ross, the ambassador for Winston's Wish, a charity that helps young children who are grieving over the loss of a parent or a loved one.
Now, I'm super, super excited that I have managed to get Sam Rose to come into our studios this morning to have a chat. Morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well. So let me tell you a bit about Sam. Sam and I met at Hertfordshire Business Awards. Is that right?
It was the SME Business Awards, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was there as a guest and was sitting on a table, and I happened to sit next to Sam and his partner, so not knowing anybody else, so poor old Sam got full front of me chatting to you, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a really good evening. We were up for an award, the Family Business of the Year award, which is good. Which we won, which
won.
I'm pleased to pleased to say.
It was brilliant, and it is a family business, isn't it? So it's a watch strap.
Yes, watch strap and battery.
You're better at describing it than me.
So we have a wholesalers that sell watch straps and watch batteries based in Hoddesdon, and it's a family business that's been going for 30 years, something like that. And we supply your high street jeweller and shoe repairer with watch straps and batteries. So quite a niche business.
Yeah, but, very niche, yeah. And we did, and you won an award, Family Business,
yep.
Which was great. And because we were chatting, we did shout-outs, didn't we? I did shout-outs at the following Monday show. So we had all of your teams were...
Yep.
Tuned in. Brilliant. I love it. So Hertfordshire spreading far and wide across getting Mixed 92.6 out mm-hmm. there. But it was great. That was very exciting. But we kind of, as you do, conversation just flowing. And you told me about a charity that you are an ambassador of. So I'm gonna let you say just what that charity is.
Yeah, so filling the gaps at the dinner, I'm a volunteer ambassador for Winston's Wish. Winston's Wish was founded in 1992 and was the UK's first children and young persons bereavement charity. So they support young people who have lost a parent or someone close to them with support, sort of working their way through.
And
that.
The reason this, it really resonated, I mean, it probably stopped me in my, just stopped, probably stopped me talking. It definitely stopped me in my tracks because I lost my mum when I was 8. So, you know, very, when I tell people now, you know, people kind of go, oh, that's awful. But at the time, it was a thing that happened, which was very sad, but we all just had to get on with it. So I'm part of a big family. And there wasn't really any support. So certainly not emotionally. I think there was kind of practically, but certainly not emotionally. And we just kind of got on with it. And I didn't know anything like this existed. So when you told me, it was a bit of a spine-tingling moment that something like this exists.
Yeah, and that's the key reason why I'm here as well is that we want more people to know that something like that exists. Certainly back in, you know, many years ago... Not even that long ago. And even today, it's still a really taboo subject. People don't know how to talk about death and how to talk about people being left behind, and it's a really awkward conversation for lots and lots of people, and still is.
And we had so for my family, what was really interesting was you and I were communicating, and it was the anniversary of my mum's death, and it was 50 years. So 50 years, just like a huge milestone. And you said to me, "Did you mark it in any way?" Mm. And we didn't, because it was a on our family WhatsApp, you know, at some point somebody said, "Oh, it's the anniversary today, it's 50 years. And one of my older sisters said, "I think Mum would look at us and she'd be proud, you know, what we've all done." And that was it, really. Yeah. So even though it's not quite taboo, it's still very, you know, it's normalised, it happened, we got on with it, and that's kind of how life kind of was in the time. Mm-hmm. So it was the 70s when my mum died, and we had a week off school. So, you know, that was what we had, and some of that would have been the funeral. We would have been getting under people's feet anyway, but after a week, it was all back to school and get on with it. And that, you know, that was it.
That sort of keep calm and carry on. You know, there's so many people that are bereaved of a parent at the moment. I think it's 100 children are bereaved every day of a parent, which is just a fact that sort of blew me away, especially when you feel like it's, you know, it's only happening to, you know, to you with your mum or people going through that. So,
and it's I mean, we'll talk more about it because we can't get into the psychology of it, because neither of us are psychologists, sadly. I think I am, but literally I'm not. Yeah. But I do kind of think you look now at children. I can look now at a child who's 8 and think, oh, how vulnerable an 8-year-old child is, but I can't look at myself and think how vulnerable I was at that, you know, how I didn't feel like that.
Sometimes looking back is really triggering to, you know, for you to know that, wow, how did that happen at that age, be it whether you're at 8 or, you know, or even older. Yeah. It's incredible to realise how young you are. Yeah. And only as you get older do you see that.
And also, so I guess I was the youngest in my family, which I think meant that I sometimes lived the life like the older children did. Yeah. So that's what somebody said to me once, is you probably experienced it as an older child because you had older siblings that you literally mimicked, I guess, in how you cope with stuff and how you get on with stuff.
Yeah.
So fascinating. We were talking about, you know, how this service didn't exist, and certainly in the 70s when I lost my mum. But what made it resonate with you? What made this charity kind of, you know, be your calling to be an ambassador for, despite the fact that you work and you're busy and all of that kind of stuff?
Well, certainly, you know, many years ago, it isn't something that I thought I'd be doing at all. My story is back in 1997, myself and all my family were on holiday at the seaside, and my dad, who was 45 years old at the time, suddenly had a heart attack and died. And then moving forward the next sort of 20 years, you don't talk about it, you suppress your emotions, you sort of try and lock it away.
And how old were you when that happened, Sam?
So I was 11. Everyone will remember, because it was actually a week before Princess Diana's funeral, so everyone knows where they were when that was happening. And also 2 weeks before I started secondary school.
Wow.
So sort of big life-changing events that all happened at the same time. And you know, some people you just sort of bury your head in the sand and carry on. And
there is a bit of an expectation to do that as well. Yeah. Wasn't there? Yeah. You know, like you just what else could you do about it? You couldn't change it, so you just had to get on with stuff. Yeah.
And for me as well, you know, I didn't want to get upset as a young boy. You know, I didn't want to be sad. So you'd make yourself not think about the things that made you sad, and you just keep going. And life was fine, really, because you were doing it. And it's only later in life that you realise, actually, maybe it's probably a good idea to process some of this information and some of this grief. So
And it is weird because I think we don't. I think I remember actually saying to somebody, I don't think I know how to grieve. Mm. You know, because you don't. You've suppressed it all. So what do you do? I don't want to be wailing around. How long do I wail for? Mm. You know, and there's no rules, is there?
There is no rule book. And, you know, that's the great thing about Winston's Wish is, you know, they provide support. But there isn't. There's nobody there that can say this is how you do it, because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And different if you are a young child all the way through to sort of teenager and young adult. It's different for sort of everybody. But yeah, the turning point for me was almost 20 years to the day when I heard a podcast by Prince Harry talking about his mum and about how he, you know, locked away all his emotions and suppressed everything, and until, you know, he thought, I've got to try and face them and talk about it. And that's what I thought, do you know what, that's how I feel thing, that's yeah. you know, that's what I think I need. And then from there, you know, moving on, I thought, how can I support, you know, other people going through that as a child, and I knew about Winston's Wish, so that's where the you know, I got in touch, saw they were looking for some volunteers. And I've been doing that ever since, really.
And it's fascinating. Did you Google them? Did you think, is there support? Did you, you know, how did you come across Winston's Wish?
So, yeah, it was just from looking online. I personally found it really comforting listening to other people's stories. Because when you, or for me, I can only talk about my experience, but when I was going through it, you know, you think it's just happening to you and, you know, no one will understand and things like that. But only going with someone like seeing Winston's Wish, hearing the other people's stories can be so comforting, knowing that you're not alone and there's lots and lots of other people that unfortunately are going through the same thing as you. So, yeah, that's how I found them.
See, and it wasn't, I have to say, it wasn't until I met you that it had ever even crossed my mind. You know, I didn't think, I should, you know, it would be good to go and work for a charity or volunteer for a charity that provides that support. It never crossed my mind that and kind of charity would even exist.
Yeah. And you're somebody that's been affected by, you know, by that. And certainly that's, you know, that's my main role, is to spread awareness, tell everybody about Winston's Wish. If you know anybody that has been affected by that or bereaved as a young person. And it's not also just for young people. They do they have lots of resources for teachers. You know, if there's a teacher and one of their pupils have lost a parent or have been bereaved.
There's a huge amount. So we are going to do, we are going to find out more about those services, because that sounds brilliant, that there's services not just for the children but for adults who are, you know, teaching or coming across. So it could even be, I guess, scout and, you know, brownie leaders or whatever, who just need to have a little bit of advice on how you actually, you know, some of the things that might be helpful to do or say.
Just to give them the confidence.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, because there is no right thing. So, Sam, tell us a little bit more about some of the services that the charity provides.
Yeah, so as I said before, Winston's Wish support the young people that have been bereaved, but also the adults and parents and teachers, you know, the people in those young people's lives, helping them sort of navigate their way through what they've been dealing with. It's a big organisation. They directly supported over 60,000 children and young people.
Wow.
In a year, and of course, to do that, you know, fundraising and money is the biggest thing that they need to help out, and also the volunteers. But they have direct support from bereavement sort of experts, so you can go onto their website, which is winstonswish.org, and you can get in touch with a bereavement expert through the live chat with no appointment, or you can call up their helpline as well for advice.
And that's a good thing for teachers, parents, you know, if you're a scout leader, a brownie, a brown owl, just to know that, to know if you've got somebody, you know, in your care that you're teaching, or that you could give them or their carer the access to that information, and they could go and chat to someone instantly. Mm. And it is it's kind of encouraging people to talk, isn't it? Because death is difficult, isn't it, for all of us? Even when we get older, death is difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
And you do get people who just don't know what to say to you. Mm. So they go with the, I won't say anything.
Yeah. I remember, as you know, when I was younger, it's not a conversational starter. Talking about that, yeah. And yeah, you certainly, if you were to tell someone, it'll be, oh, okay, what do I say?
What do I say next?
You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
And even now, there isn't really a rule book of what to say and what not to say. So yeah, it's very difficult.
And it is about, so you know, I think you have got a responsibility to face into it. So maybe we need support as well, but to face into it, because what you want to do is discourage the child or young adult that's going through it. You don't want them to not talk. They need to talk.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to express themselves. Mm. And so, as hard as that is to do, you know, you're typically, you're in the better position if it's not you going through it. So
yeah.
It is really interesting, isn't it, to deal with those kind of feelings.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the great thing about Winston's Wish is it's led by young people. They have a youth advisory board now. So a lot of the content that you see online, a lot of the decision making even, is by a group of, I think they're between 8 and 25 year olds that are saying, this is what we want to say, this is what we want to do. So
yeah.
It's not a group of adults in an office just saying, you know, we think this should be the way, which is, I think, a really great thing about it.
That is brilliant, because they're the ones who are affected.
Yeah.
You know, and I think back to when I was that young, too long ago, it wasn't the 1940s, just so we're clear, but I don't know what I would have... I don't know how I would have realised it. One of the things, so with any death, the world still goes on, doesn't it? That's the really difficult thing. Whatever happens, the world goes on. So you can sit there thinking, you know, everything's stopped for me. But you only have to look out and, you know, kids are playing in a park, people are walking their dogs, you know, people are having a coffee and laughing. And that's kind of really difficult as an individual to deal with.
Yeah, certainly for me as well. You know, immediately afterwards, there's so much going on and there's so much... sort of craziness when your life's turned upside down, and then you have the funeral, and then all of a sudden everyone else's lives sort of gets back to normal, and they go to work and they go to school and they do all of these things, and you're sort of left thinking, you know, okay, right, how do I navigate through it? What next?
So Sam, Winston's Wish is a charity, and like all charities, not for profits, etc., they do need support. So it's a bit of a shout out, really, I guess, if there's a company or an organisation that wants to support.
Yeah. Firstly, you know, if there's a young person that is affected, winstonswish.org is a great resource. But if you're a business out there or somebody looking to support or fundraise, a business maybe looking to have a charity of the year or something like that, or if you wanted to, you know, do a cake sale or skydive,
raise some money,
check out the website Winston's Wish and get in touch through
there. And what about volunteers as well? So I guess if you know, like all charities, not for profit, we're all looking for volunteers. All of that, you can
definitely
go to the website. So if you've been affected, and it is, you know, probably something a lot more people in your life have been affected by than you might know about. But
definitely
get in touch, because you may be able to turn your experience into helping somebody as they go through their experience.
Yeah, of course. It's definitely more people than people realise, and opening the conversation certainly does that. So yeah, thanks very much for the time today, and a shout out to all of my fellow community ambassadors, and to Susie and Charlotte that look after us as well. It's great being part of that team.
Yeah, fabulous. So Sam, thank you so much for joining us here at Mix 92.6. Really enjoyed having you
on.
And I just love the fact that this charity exists for kids who do need that support.
Yep.
And let's carry on talking about it.